I wonder what you might think if I asked you, what have you got to remember? Any other time than today, I suspect you might come up with all sorts of things. Have I got a handkerchief? Have I tied my shoelaces? Is it somebody's birthday? Have I got my pair of glasses in my handbag? Have I got my lunch money, my door key? What time am I supposed to be in by? Questions sparks all sorts of memories right the way through our life, perhaps. Conjures up all sorts of things in our minds. A little while ago, I read an autobiography by John Simpson called Different Worlds. John Simpson, the great radio broadcaster. And somewhere in that book, he quoted a poem, a ditty really, that my parents used to have framed in the bathroom on the wall. I'm sure you know it. It was by Mabel Lucy Atwell. Please remember, don't forget. Never leave the bathroom wet, nor leave the soap still in the water. That's a thing we never order. Nor leave the towels about the floor, nor keep the bath an hour or more. When other folks are wanting one, please don't forget, it isn't done. John Simpson, great broadcaster and a great writer, was born towards the end of World War II, and as he reminisces, biographical notes about his parents and their families bring all sorts of insights into life in those wartime and post-war years, as some of you I know will remember. Poverty, austerity, need, pain and change, and for so many, the victory side. But don't forget the losers. Ultimately, after all, there are no winners in war. Much of John Simpson's book makes for salutary, challenging reading, perhaps especially for those like myself who were born long afterwards. And yet, each one of us has our memories. The vast majority have been touched by war in some way or another, because there have been wars and conflicts in every generation. We will have been touched by loss at some time or another as well, if not within our own families and friends. And today is a day when those memories, whether they are many or few, come back to us. One of my own very personal memories, because of my age, was the week the Falklands Task Force set sail across the Atlantic, the instruction of then Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher, June 1982, just a few months before I was married. I believe something of those years is aired again and again by the media at this time, along with so many other things. I remember it because on the Sunday morning the task force set sail, I was playing the organ for a service in a church. I had a contemporary who recently joined the Royal Navy, who was on one of the ships. And at the end of the service, I decided to play the tune Melita, which has already played a little bit of that this morning, just before we began our worship. Eternal Father, strong to save. And as people left, so just quietly and reflectively, I began to play for those in peril on the sea. Much to my surprise, nobody moved. The congregation stood instinctively and just listened in silence as I played. It was a particularly poignant reminder for me of that particular conflict. And because of that incident alone, I remember that particular weekend every single time that hymn is played. And I remember my contemporary. We're all in something of a season of remembrance at the moment, aren't we? Comes at this time of year every year. It began with All Saints Day, or Hallows Eve, or Halloween isn't remembered particularly by the church, but All Saints certainly is, quickly followed by All Souls Day. Bonfire Night, celebrated here in Weston last night as the fireworks went off just beyond the pier. Remember the ditty? Remember the 5th of November. Gunpowder, treason and plot. I see no reason why gunpowder treason should ever be forgot. We mark that day, even if indirectly, as something of a reminder, perhaps, of the vulnerability of our democracy. The good of many so easily threatened by the acts of the few, and of the importance of trying to work together with those who often hold very different life and worldviews to those in leadership. All part of the season. So what do we remember on Remembrance Sunday? Well, of course, we remember the sacrifice of those given, life given in the service of the nations and in search of liberty and peace for all. I'm sure we remember that. I certainly hope so. I hope we remember all those who served in past years, those serving in the armed with the armed forces today, praying for them and their families, especially those who mourn the loss of loved ones this day, who mourn the loss and remember the loss of loved ones in conflicts, many near and far, in years gone by. Sometimes hard to remember that there are armed conflicts in several parts of the world, even today. Just look and you will see. Afghanistan, Yemen, Sudan, Ethiopia, North Africa, Somalia, Venezuela. Just to name some. And in each one there are people living with the daily threats and reality of terrorism, fighting, living under despotic military regimes, who do not have the good of all within their sights. What is life like for these ordinary folks in such faraway places? Now, in 1999, I travelled in Afghanistan and later into Pakistan as well. Afghanistan is a country that could have been created for the pictures of the National Geographic magazine alone. But for preparation before arrival, I was told to think of parts of the city of Kabul, the capital, as like Berlin in 1946. A once beautiful city set amongst the mountains, much destroyed by bombing and terrorism, is still home to many tens of thousands of people, some of whom were still trying to scratch a living from the dust in those days. But at that time, ordinary people were just trying to carry on their everyday lives under the jurisdiction of a guerrilla warlord leadership. Since then, there's been an elected government, democratic leadership has been in place until earlier this year, when, as we know, things have changed radically again. The people of that country face a very uncertain future, surely, and need our prayers. The Afghan conflict spilled over the border into the northwest frontier province of Pakistan, where there have been skirmishes for well over 100 years. Another poor country of 150 million people, where the majority, live in poverty and also try to make a living from the meager resources amidst the anxiety of daily attack and reprisals amongst innocent civilians. It's a tough place to be. It was then a frightening place to be, and it has been in many other times, I'm sure. So remembrance is about remembering those who are fighting for their cause, but it's about remembering the innocent caught up in conflicts, the hurting, fearful, struggling, injured and bereaved as well throughout the world, as well as those engaged in military service. Let's remember them and many others. There is another strand to our remembrance which is crucial. In our act of remembrance up and down the country and in the parades all over the place today, we remember God. God appears on the agenda. And even if he only appears on the agenda of Christmas and Easter for some, and an occasional service of perhaps baptism, wedding or funeral for even fewer in these days, God appears on the remembrance agenda. In the solemnity of the public parades, in the events at the Albert Hall, in the marking of the moment at the cenotaph, in the prayers offered, sometimes a God who is unknown, and yet in our prayers we become aware of a God who looks with mercy, forgiveness, comfort, peace, healing and strength. We look to him, and that is what he offers. We pray with thanksgiving for the peace we know, and that we long for our nation and for others, and for justice, mercy and protection for those currently engaged in conflict. The scripture readings today remind us that God dwells with the contrite and the humble in spirit. He doesn't condone war, but it is perhaps an inevitable consequence for fallen humanity. And I believe God recognises that war comes from the battle between good and evil in our world. He promises he will forgive all who come in penitence and faith. He will lead us to peace if we allow him to. Peace as individuals, peace as a community, peace as a nation, even if we have directly or indirectly contributed to a world that has ended in some way or another at war. How do we seek that peace? We're urged to pray, to bring our petitions and needs to God, to bring our thanks to him for all his provision, his love and his care, and for the fact that he is a God who forgives. We're called to pray for those who lead, not just our church leaders, but our national leaders, who direct the nations, the armed forces, and the leaders of the other nations too. Those who work for peace, as well as those who seek their own ends through violence and injustice. Yes, we pray for our enemies too. We're called to live by God's laws. What are they? In summary, to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbours as ourselves. And we're reminded that when we get it wrong, when a nation gets it wrong, we have one who will mediate with God on behalf of all who come with those repentant, humble hearts. Yes, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, who can and does offer forgiveness because of all he's achieved on the cross at Calvary for each and every one who will but accept him. The good news, same as it was last week, the same as it will be next week, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He who was raised from the dead, proving sin and death to be defeated once and for all, promises the gift of the Holy Spirit, the counselor, the guide, to lead and to help us remember all Jesus taught us, to lead us into all truth by faith, so that we might begin to love as he first loved us. And in that, we can begin to find the peace which Jesus offers, peace which passes all our understanding, whatever our present circumstances and situations. One of the reasons for that peace is perhaps because the accepted, the loved, the forgiven by Christ sinner receives an assurance of a place in eternity. And it is by faith alone that we can receive such that assurance that brings peace with it. So on this Remembrance Sunday, as we remember all who have given their lives in sacrifice for our freedom, as we pray for all who serve and work for peace, as we remember all those who struggle in places where there is no peace, might we also remember and not forget the God who sees all, knows all, forgives all who will come to him, and who by his grace promises us eternal peace. As we remember later in this service, we're going to pledge ourselves afresh to love as he first loved us, to live and work for his praise and glory, for the world he's created, for the world in which he says, "Be still and know that I am God." Amen.